If you'd like to make your NFL games a little more interesting, you've come to the right place. It's the Even Money Podcast with Russ Tucker and Steve Fezzik.
Yeah, Vegas, baby, Vegas, week 9 in the National Football League. And the Even Money Podcast continues to pick up steam and momentum. That must be in part thanks to you guys for spreading the word via social media. I'm the former NFL journeyman offensive lineman. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL, or if you're a Facebook person, facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. And I love any of the tweets or likes or retweets or whatever you guys can give us. That certainly helps. He is Steve Fezzik, the only two-time winner of the Super Bowl of professional football betting. He actually won it back-to-back years. You can check him out on Twitter at Fezzik Sports. He's obviously all over pregame.com. That's his employer. At rostucker.com is, by the way, the hub for this podcast. So if you're new or you're not exactly sure how to get the feed for your phone or your app or whatever, just go to rostucker.com, the Even Money page at the top. We usually have the feed for pretty much anything you could ever want in that regard. It's all right there for you. How about last week, by the way? Both of us nailed the Sunday night and Monday night best bets. We got the Raiders game right, the Giants Saints over. In fact, four best bets for you and I, Steve, were right. The Steelers were the only wrong one. So for the week, with some of those fancy bets you did, you were up 7.6 units. I was up 6 units. So overall, you're up 7.6 because you were even heading into week 8. And I'm up 4 units. So coming off of a good week, and we both are in the black, which is nice.
Let's keep it rolling.
All right, let's do it, Bri.
All right, tonight, Cincinnati, minus 11 at home against the Cleveland Browns, 45.5 the total.
Well, we already know Johnny Manziel is starting. He did win, I guess, his only start so far this year. Bengals pretty much on a roll. Man, and the Browns don't have Whitner, don't have Hayden. 11 is a lot of points, Steve. I almost feel like they're tempting us and daring us to take the Cleveland Browns. And you know what? It worked. I'm putting 1 unit on the Browns just because I want to make the game more interesting. And 11 points is a lot for an in-state rivalry game like this.
Yeah, I agree with you. Remember, this is the game last year that Andy Dalton imploded at home and couldn't do anything. The Bengals lost by 21 at home to the Browns. So how will he respond to that? Problem is my power ratings make this game 14. So I don't lay 11. It's not an area code I drive in, much less get out and then park. I will say I want to address, Ross, you're saying they're tempting you. I think that's a myth of the bookmakers. The bookmakers are just trying to balance. So maybe the bettors are tempting you to take it because the bettors came in with both fifths and laid the opener of 10, and that's why it's up to 11.
All right, Steve, moving on to the Sunday games. The Pittsburgh Steelers at home, minus 4.5 points against the Oakland Raiders. Raiders going back east, total there 48.
Lots of trends talk about how bad the Raiders are when they head east and how bad they are off a win. How bad must they be off of 2 wins? Hasn't happened in a long time that they got 3 in a row. But this isn't the Raiders of 2010. I legitimately feel this is arguably an above-average Raider team. The Steelers have no Bell, so they gave away that game against Cincinnati. Defense playing very well for the Steelers. Despite all the trends, I actually lean to Oakland in this game. I've become a believer in the Raiders, but I just refuse to play them because the trends are so bad against them.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I think the Steelers are going to win the game, but you're right about, you know, no Le'Veon Bell and how well the Raiders are playing right now. There is the dynamic of everybody telling them how great they are. I'm going to put 1 unit on the Raiders because I'm not sure without Le'Veon Bell that they're not the better team right now, and they're getting 4.5 points. I'll just put 1 unit on it, and then next week I'll talk about how I regret it.
All right, Ross. Jacksonville at the New York Jets. Jets minus 6.5 points, 41.5 the total.
Looks like Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to start, even though they've said that he needs surgery on that thumb, that it's a pain tolerance issue. It doesn't sound real good, but it must be okay if he's good enough to go. Jacksonville coming off of a bye. They got that big win against Buffalo in London the week before, so they're feeling themselves a little bit. This feels like it's got to be a bounce-back game for the Jets. They didn't just lose to the Raiders. I thought they were pretty much embarrassed in that game. I can't believe how badly they played defensively, or I don't know, if you want to give the credit to the Raiders, that's fine, how well the Raiders played offensively, but same difference. It wasn't good. I expect the Jets to bounce back. I'm just not going to lay 6.5 points. I don't think the Jets are that kind of team. But I would lean with the Jets in this one if I had to.
And breaking news, this just came up. It was only up at one sports book. It just came up at the premium sports book in the World Bookmaker. Totals up to 44, and the spread, they open at 7.5, which I think is crazy, given all the problems with Fitzgerald, Fitzpatrick and his injured thumb. So at that 44, I'm going under. I don't see where the points are coming without Brandon Marshall. And I'm sure everyone else is going to see it the way I'm seeing it, and they're probably going to bet the same thing. So under, we'll call it 43.5. That's the current number right as we're taping, 2 units.
All right, Steve, speaking of the under, 39.5 points is the total for St. Louis at Minnesota. The Vikings minus 2.5 points. That 39.5 is the lowest of the week.
Yeah, two comparable teams. I can see why it's the lowest total. You know, their yards per play are actually quite good, but all they do is run the ball. I really think that carbon copy teams, but St. Louis does what Minnesota does. They just do it a little bit better, and Gurley is an absolute beast. I'm really not sure who's going to win this game, but I know St. Louis is the better team, a slightly better team. Plus 2.5, I have to take the Rams, 2 units.
I got nothing in this game. I got nothing. I think the Vikings, I think these are even teams in my mind. I think the Vikings probably win by a field goal, close game. Just because they're at home, I'll give them the 3 points there because they're at home. And I think it's a low-scoring game. I mean, 20-17, something like that. So I'm not touching the total. I guess if I would lean, I'd probably lean towards St. Louis getting the points. But like I said, I think the Vikings probably win by about a field goal. So I've got very little in this game.
All right, Ross, the Miami Dolphins at the Buffalo Bills. Bills minus 3. The total there, 44.
The Bills are getting a lot of dudes back. I mean, a lot of dudes back off of injury. Most importantly, Tyrod Taylor. While at the same time, the Dolphins were just absolutely humbled by the Patriots. And their best player got hurt and is out for the season. I think this is a close game that the Bills win probably by about a field goal. So this is another one that I'm not going to play. But if I had to, I would play the Bills. I would, even though they're laying the 3, I would lean towards the Bills on this one, but I'm going to pass this game.
I'm going to pass as well. I've got the Dolphins as being still rated the better team, even without their great pass rusher. But there's a trend out there. I want to ask you about this, Ross. Buffalo does great against Miami, streak-wise, against the spread, trend-wise. And the feeling in Vegas is it might be a one-way rivalry where Buffalo gets up for Miami and Miami doesn't care about Buffalo. What do you think about that?
You know, that's interesting. I know that the Miami game is a big rivalry to Bills fans, and it is talked about quite a bit there because that was really, you know, it goes back to the 70s with O.J. Simpson and the Dolphins and when they were good. And then, of course, you know, with Jim Kelly, Dan Marino. I don't really know that I felt that much as a player. I think I certainly felt that the fans felt that way. It didn't really have a big impact on me, but it was clear that the fans felt that way about it.
All right, Ross, whose turn is it?
Steve's.
Steve, sorry about that. Steve, Tennessee at New Orleans, Saints minus 8, the total 48.
Boy, it sure looks a little bit high to me. I don't really trust Tennessee. Their stats are fine. But you know what? You fire your head coach. I need a reason not to bet on you because the team always gets a bounce forward from it. I'll put a unit on Tennessee plus the 8.
That's interesting. I mean, Breeze is playing so well. The problem is the Saints defense isn't really playing that well. You know, it looks like it'll be Mariota. You're right. They probably will make some adjustments for Mariota, for, you know, everything going on with Malarkey as the head coach. Man, I'm torn on this one. I'm going to pass a third straight game. I don't think I've ever done that before. You know what? I take that back. I'm putting a unit on the under. I think Tennessee's – I still don't see Tennessee scoring very many points. And Tennessee's defense is actually pretty good, and people don't realize that. So I'll put actually two units, Bri, on the under in this one, under 48. In terms of the game, the line, I'd probably lean Tennessee like Steve just because they're getting the eight and have the boost.
All right, Ross, the New England Patriots are 14-point favorites against the Washington Redskins. Patriots at home, the total 52.5 points.
How about that? I mean, Vegas loves the Patriots, and probably rightfully so. They're pretty much automatic. I'm not laying 14 points. I mean, how crazy is it that I'm not, like, automatically dumping money on the Redskins? I'm going to put a unit on the Redskins. I mean, 14 points. I'm putting one unit on the Redskins to keep it close.
And some sobering facts. Remember that 16-0 New England team? I remember them laying 24 to the Eagles. So 14 isn't that much. I've got them rated 11 points better than an average team now. 4 for home field in Gillette. That gets us to 15 already. Actually has me leaning to New England, Ross, but I hate laying 14. But that's the only way it would look, lean only.
All right, Steve, about the Green Bay Packers at Carolina. Green Bay minus 2.5 points, 46 the total.
What was that by the Packers in Denver? Wow, did I adjust their power ratings? I still have them 6 points better than an average team, but frankly, I think that that number's too low when they're in Lambeau, and it's too high when they're on the road. They played 3 road games. Workmanlike effort against the Bears, where it's not even a road game. Half the fans are Green Bay fans. And unimpressive at San Francisco, where Kaepernick couldn't complete a pass. And, of course, the debacle in Denver. I'm not that high on Carolina, but I'm down on Green Bay on the road. I have to play Carolina plus the 2.5, one unit.
It's a really interesting game. I mean, Carolina's undefeated. Denver just destroyed the Green Bay Packers, yet they've still got the Packers laying the points. The problem is, you know, the Packers receivers, and I talked about this with Greg Cosell on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast today, Green Bay's receivers just could not get open against Denver's secondary. Now you've got Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis dropping. You've got Josh Norman at cornerback. Yet I can't help but think, after they were humbled last Sunday night, that the Packers are going to come back and play better. I guess I'm going to go the other way, call it a hunch, but I don't feel great about it. I'm just going to put one unit on the Packers. I think they win the game, and it's only 2.5 units. So I'm betting on Aaron Rodgers' greatness in this one to come through, plus maybe a little law of averages for the Carolina Panthers. They got to lose a game at some point. They're not like a 14-0 type of team, and this would be one that they could potentially lose. So I don't know that I'd go spend a lot of my own money on it at a place like betdsi.com, which is the online sports book I use when I choose to place a bet. They've been around for over 16 years, and they're the ones I chose because they told me they'd give you guys 10 bucks. Use the code Tucker10 at betdsi.com, and you get a free $10. Again, been around 16 years. That's key. A-plus on many of the sports book review sites. Plus, you guys get 10 free dollars. Tucker10 at betdsi.com. There's another code, too, if you want to open up another account, draft10. So you can open up two different accounts at betdsi.com with different email addresses. One, Tucker10. One, draft10. They'll both get you a free $10. Why not?
All right, Ross, on to the 4 o'clock Eastern games, although this one is out west, Atlanta, minus 7 at San Francisco, 44.5 points.
Yeah, two units, Atlanta. I know that they made a quarterback change in San Francisco. Unless something miraculously happened to Blaine Gabbert since the last time I saw him play football, I'm going with the Atlanta Falcons. 7 on the road goes against a lot of things I believe in, but I don't believe in Blaine Gabbert. I know that for sure. Two units on the Falcons.
So let me use an analogy for this one. You've got someone with a little inside information, not that we'd ever really do this, on some stock, and you're taking your son to his friend's birthday party, and everyone else in your inner circle gets the text, got to play, buy the stock at 5. But you're at your son's birthday party, and your wife doesn't want you checking all your texts and betting, so you wait till you get home, and everyone else has just bought the stock at 5, and it's now trading at 7, and you just got around to reading your text. That is this game. I agree with everything Ross says. Gabbert stinks. Normally you fire the coach or the quarterback, the team responds, but I'm not so sure they're going to respond here. And even if they do, that quarter, you've got another horrible quarterback, but I should have had Atlanta minus 5. And now it's Atlanta minus 7, and I just refuse. Even though I agree with you, and it's the only way I would look is towards Atlanta, my experience has been that you don't win stock investing when you're the last one in, and you don't win sports betting investing when you're the last one in. It's too late. I got to pass.
Great analogy, Steve. Moving on, the Giants minus 2.5 at the Tampa Bay Bucks, 47.5 points.
Well, it's interesting about that 47.5 is that last week the Giants went over 47.5, as did their opponents. And for good reason, the Giants are a dead nuts over team. And Tampa Bay, their stats say they're an over team as well. And they've played a schedule, this is despite playing a schedule that included a lot of under teams along the way. Atlanta actually rolled up a whole bunch of yardage last week. I'm sure Ross saw that, lost 3 fumbles, and they're an over team as well. That game went under. This game's not going to go under. 30% chance of showers, no big deal, no rain, no heavy rain, no heavy wind, more importantly. I think this is a shootout. I'm putting 3 units as my best bet on Giants-Tampa Bay over 47.5, and I'm going to put a unit on Tampa Bay themselves to go over 22.5 on their team total.
Wow, interesting. I don't really understand why that. I mean, I guess 47.5 is pretty high, but I don't really understand it. I think both these teams are going to throw the ball a lot. They both have pretty garbage defenses. I'll put 2 units on the over as well, which I think, is that our first best bet, Bri?
It is.
The best bet.
All right, Ross, the Denver Broncos minus 5 at the Indianapolis Colts, 44.5 points.
So just watching these teams, I would without question or hesitation put the money on Denver 2 units. But then you look at it and you think, okay, well, Denver's coming off this big win on Sunday Night Football against the Packers, blah, 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 number one. And number two, the Colts starting to shake things up. They fire Pep Hamilton. And then I think, you know what? I don't care. I'm still doing it, but I'm just going to make it 1 unit. 1 unit on the Broncos laying the 5 points. Their defense is that good. I just don't see how the Colts score very many points. 1 unit on the Broncos laying the 5.
Yeah, their defense is that good. I agree. Same thing as Atlanta. This game is a carbon copy. This line opened 3, and now it's up to 5, and it probably closed at 5.5 or 6. And I want to bet Denver, and I know Peyton Manning wants to stick it to Indianapolis. And if he can play at any kind of level like he played last week with that great defense, best in the NFL, they'll do so. But I can't get over the fact that I should have been laying 3 in this game, certainly 3.5 and not 5. Darn it, pass.
All right, Steve, Sunday night, Philadelphia minus 2.5 at Dallas, 44 points.
Yeah, and I really feel like I dropped the ball this week to my clients because those are both games I probably should have put out investment advisories on early in the week, and frankly, there's just not enough hours in the day, and what are you going to do? I do like something in this game. I'm going to go under for 2 units. I look at recent history between these two teams, and 3 out of the 4 went under 46.5 points. There was the big shootout with 65 points the last time they played. But my analysis is pretty simple. If we went under with Romo 3 out of 4 times, how are we going to get the points without him? Dallas simply cannot score. They can't move the ball. And Chip Kelly's offense, although I expect with some time to prepare and having been home bye week, it's going to be better. Dallas's defense is playing out of their mind. They're going to hold Philly to 24, and I don't think Dallas is going to get past 20. I'm going under.
That's a good bet there. I'll put one unit on the under as well. On the line, I'd probably lean Philadelphia, but like Steve, I think it's a low-scoring game that the Eagles probably win by about a field goal, and they're laying 2.5. But I'll lean Philadelphia, but I'll put two units, actually, on the under. You convinced me there, Steve.
The best bet.
All right, Ross, let's finish it up. Monday Night Football, the Chicago Bears at the San Diego Chargers. San Diego -4, and the total there 49.5.
Yeah, I don't have a great feel for this game. You know, Fox has done a pretty nice job with the Bears. I think they're better than any of us really thought they'd be. But I don't know that I feel like they're going to go to San Diego and get this one. I guess I'm going to pass this game. I would probably lean Chicago, though, because they've been pretty consistent. I'd lean Chicago getting those 4 points.
I'm going to get a little cute in this one, and maybe I'll lose because of it. Though historically, there's a trend that on these Monday night games, the West Coast teams do really well against the spread. The theory is the whole body clock thing, that you're waking up 3 hours later anyways, and so it's much more of a dramatic difference for a team on the East Coast or even the Central time zone to have to suddenly play at night than it is for a West Coast team. That's why San Francisco and San Diego have been so good in these Monday night games. But because we just went ahead and fell back, it's an hour later even further, so that factor should magnify. I wonder if that had something to do with Green Bay completely not being ready to play this past Sunday night. I'm going to go ahead and back that trend. The power ratings make the game 4, so my power ratings don't support it or disagree with it. So just one unit, San Diego.
Well, that'll do it, except for the fact that we have an email. Bri?
Ever wanted to ask an NFL player a question? Well, here's your chance. It's time to Ask Ross.
And it's not just an NFL player, it's Steve on this podcast, and you're really probably asking your question to Steve. If you ever want to get a question to Steve, just forward an email confirmation from any of our sponsors, including BetDSI.com, which you can use that code DRAFT10 or TUCKER10. They both work. And forward it to me, Ross at RossTucker.com. We'll hook you up. Steve, this comes from Matthew Ajla. He says, I would like to thank Fezzik for suggesting the correlation bets. I turned my bet DSI $10 into $26.45 by taking the Rams -6.5 and the under -41.5. I love the more exotic bets, over 9 punts. Fezzik is sharing on the podcast. My question is where you can get down exotic bets. I don't see them on BetDSI. And how does Fezzik identify where to bet each week? Who has the best number limit? I understand this question leads to BetDSI competitors, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, he just wants to know best place to bet the exotics and just a sports book or two that might have lineups or lines that you like a lot of times, Steve.
Yeah, well, pretty much all the books will have props and exotics on the Sunday night and Monday night games, and you just have to go into the menus individually. I'm not that familiar with what BetDSI offers, but this is really important. Everyone get out a pen and paper, because when you get your $10 at BetDSI, I assume that's a free play. Do you know whether that's the case, Ross?
Yeah, I think, yes, it's credited to your account.
Okay, so if it's a $10 free play, in other words, you can bet 10 to win 10, so you're risking nothing. It's better to actually play it as a parlay, as a two-team or a three-team parlay, because of if you make a straight bet and you win it, you're going to have $10 or you're going to have nothing. But if you go ahead and put the parlay in, you have a 1/4 chance of winning the $27 or whatever the two-team parlay pays. And so mathematically, even if you had a 1/4 chance of making the $27, it's been a while since I've been out of school, but it suddenly becomes worth like six $6.50. So if you get any free play from a sports book, you should always invest in a parlay. One of the few times that a parlay is better than a straight bet. I hope I explained that correctly. Go ahead and think about that, but consider playing a two- or three-team parlay with any free play and any bonus in any sports book.
Yeah, I mean, you totally lost me, but the net result was you're the mathematician, dude, and you said play the parlay when you get free money.
Or a big money line, like a plus 300 money line, either way.
That'll do it for this week's Even Money podcast. Hey, you want to send an email in, we're happy to answer it like we just answered Matthew's. Just forward the email confirmation, like I said, write to Ross at RossTucker.com. Obviously, bet DSI with the free $10 at Tucker10 is probably the easiest and best way to do that. I mentioned earlier about spreading the word on social media. That's awesome. If you're bored and you can subscribe to us on multiple devices, that helps. It all helps. iTunes rankings comments, huge, because that helps with our iTunes algorithm, blah, 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 thingamajigger. Anyway, I think that's it. I'm all tapped out. Good luck, everybody. Hope you win some money.
Thanks for listening to the Even Money Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, the Fantasy Feast Podcast, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at RossTucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.